Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. Welcome back to Discheads. This is episode 8, Breaking the Rules. That's right. This episode, we have quite a bit of, let's just say, educational things that I'm going to learn, and hopefully you guys and girls out there will learn as well. On this podcast, you've got me, one of the co-hosts, Lee McAlpin. Hello, welcome. I'm glad you guys are enjoying our podcast and our content here on the Discheads YouTube channel. Unfortunately, Ben cannot make it tonight. I believe his excuse was, my throat sounds like it's been assaulted with sandpaper. So it's either really gravelly or Barry White. That's all I can imagine it honestly is, Dan. And over to the left of me is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy behind this podcast. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, no, good, thanks, Lee. Yourself?
I'm really good. Well, I've just recently moved, so I'm currently living in boxes. So I've not played much disc golf. I've been throwing discs in a park and looking like a crazy person, singing to myself. But other than that, I'm really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been, it's been
talking
fun.
About disc golf, it's been a few weeks.
It has.
Work, life.
Yeah. Just the quote of Jurassic Park all the time is, "If life finds a way." Like literally, it always does. Whenever like, yeah, we're going to do a podcast, and then we're just like, no, just why life? Why
yeah, can't we as I was saying to you before we started, I was very close to saying no tonight. I finished work at like. Yeah. Half hour before you arrived. Like, just, you know, it's life.
It is, man. 100%.
But yeah, so let's go on with the cast. So today we're going to be talking about discontinued disc, watching ourselves on film. We've got a big topic. We've got some disc of the weeks and we've got some beginner tips. But first we're going to talk about practice nets. So I've been fortunate enough to get a practice net. Lee's had a practice net for a little bit of time.
Yes.
By practice net, we just mean portable nets. I've got the UK disc golf.
The baskets, right? Not the net.
Yeah, the baskets. Yeah, the baskets. The things with chains and that you throw discs into.
Yes. The baskets that people don't know what they are, if they are actual, they should have plants in them, or why they're there. What are they there for?
Yeah, when was there? Parks? You weren't there on Sunday. There was a couple of kids that believed they were climbing frames.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, mate. Were they like fully grown kids or just like little toddlers?
No, little kids.
Oh,
little
thank kids. God. I mean, if they were teenagers, I'd be really worried. I'd be like, what are you doing?
But yeah, so I've got the Disc Golf UK Keep.
Yes.
It's a very sturdy net. I'm not here to do a... I'm going to stop calling it a net as well. It's a very sturdy basket. But I'm not here to do a basket review. That's not the point of the conversation. Mine's set up in my back garden.
Yes.
My back garden, I have learnt, is about about 15 metres. So, the furthest I could be away from the basket is about 12 metres. But I've got about 2 metres behind it.
Okay.
To catch this. So I know where my 10 meter line is. That's why my basket set up where it is.
Okay.
And I'm using it to practice putting. Mm-hmm. I'm not practicing any approach shots with it. The whole goal is to practice putting.
Right.
I'm finding it very educational.
Yeah, good word.
I'm learning stuff. So we've always said that, you know, there's plenty of YouTube videos out there that you can go and watch that say, you know, put like this, finish like this, and this is your stance that you should have. Now, I was doing 10 meter puts the other day.
Okay.
And I've thrown them like I've always thrown them. Now, you know that when I put with a little bit of a hook.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all in my wrist, and I put with a little bit of a hook. I find that more accurate for myself.
Yes.
What I was doing the other day is putting from my stomach. Now, I've never heard anyone suggest this. But I was standing sidearm.
Okay.
And going straight from my stomach and almost powering it out, just kind of flicking it out.
So no, is it? So you're going just straight forward with it, not
yeah,
rising?
Yeah, straight forward. I'm not stepping.
Oh, okay,
anything.
So you're not Gannonburying it?
No.
Okay.
And
interesting.
When we went and played recently, I was talking about my balance and stuff.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'm struggling a bit to know whether, you know, if I was to take a step forward, would that count because I'm off balance and I'm not stepping into the putt, but I might stumble afterwards because
right,
of
okay.
my movement. So I was thinking about that and thinking about how I could like avoid that ever being a problem. And I've never seen anyone put like this or anything. I'm just trying different stuff out. It's quite an accurate putt.
Good. That's awesome. I feel like there's like no right or wrong way to putt.
No.
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't want to miss. It's quite a powerful putt. But
okay,
I think in the right situation, especially in wind,
okay,
it might be the answer.
So what were you throwing all your putters? Because obviously
yeah.
there are, in your arsenal of discs, from your Baron to the Pilot and other discs you use, the weight and the, obviously the numbers and the glide is going to be very different. So I'm assuming learning that motion that you're trying with the different weight of those putts and the different numbers could be interesting to figure out this is probably a good one from X amount of distance away, and there's another way of doing it from another, like closer or whatever.
Yeah, and okay. even putting without that technique, that having the basket in my garden has taught me that I've always said that the banger is a distance disc. It's taught yeah. me that I'm right. The banger is a distance disc. Mm-hmm. I get to a distance where I can no longer smash 100% of the time with the Baron, but I'm still getting 100% with the banger.
Turn it up! Interesting.
Turn it
up.
Right.
I'll go a bit further back, and it's now Pilot territory.
Oh, the dreaded P word.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's never being thrown if there's even the slightest breeze, but
when there's wind, it stays in the bag. Yeah. Interesting.
But on a really nice day, that's going to come out for more distant shots.
Right.
But it's teaching me that. But
yeah.
So, you know, you don't have a garden.
I no longer have a garden. It's so sad.
But prior to you having a garden, you took the basket out and about with you, which is something
yeah.
I've not done.
I absolutely love it. Yeah, the basket I took out of the park, I take it out of the parks or I put it in my back garden. Honestly, it was mainly the back garden was for putting period, and then park was pretty much set it up, walk X amount of meters, and then just basically practice shots. And then approach it just like a normal hole, even though it's wide open.
So did you approach both like 100 meters to 50 meters?
Yeah, 100%. It's really fun because it's like people look at you and they don't know what's going on. And then they go, are you trying to get it in that? And you're like, yeah. They're like, oh. And they continue walking their dog. And that's about it. I had one guy, so far I've had one guy stop, literally put down like a four pack of Stella and threw a couple of discs with me. That was hilarious. That was awesome. And he was just like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, it is kind of fun, isn't it? But I'm pretty positive. He was very intoxicated. But he was having a good time, no matter what. But where I practice there is literally like a nice little concrete run-up where obviously there used to be like the dreaded C word, as I call it, in sports cricket. They put like a practice net there for people to practice bowling and whatever.
Yeah.
And that now is effectively my launch pad at a corner. And in the park, I basically go 100 meters, then 150 meters, and then the dreaded 200, which I know exactly where it is, which is great. And it's basically start the longest and then work my way to the shortest amount. So basically practicing distance drivers and stuff like that, and just like practicing different discs and different types of shots. But the putting aspect of it, I absolutely love it. I would recommend highly to get one. They're not expensive. Well, it depends. They are expensive for what they are, but if you use them on the regular, I think they're possibly one of the best investments you'll make.
You see, you say they're expensive for what they are. It's the biggest bit of sports equipment you will probably buy in disc golf, other than the bag.
Other than a bag and a trolley. If you're going to go all out and get one of those like Zuna trolleys, which I'm not going to lie, I don't think I'll ever get a Zuna trolley. And my dad, being a golfer, he understands like, yeah, I can understand a trolley, but I can't understand that trolley for disc golf. Mm. Like, I showed him it and he was like, holy, like, I'm ready to censor myself. Holy shit. That's a lot of money for, it sounds rude to say it, a glorified chair, but it will also hold a ton of discs. For what we currently do as a group of guys, we don't have that many discs. We don't have an arsenal like some of these guys who, when you look on the Pro Tour or even the guys we've seen in tournaments that turn up with these things, they have like two or three of the same disc, but they're different weights and they're like either broken in discs or they're brand new and one's this way and that way. So I can understand why you might need one, but I would say the basket is probably the next thing. Well, it was the next thing I wanted after getting a bag.
Yeah, and then there are bags out there that are more expensive than the basket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
And, you know, you think, so mine was 120, 130, somewhere around that region.
Yeah, that's your, what, your basket or bag?
My basket.
Your basket. Mine, I would say with the bag, because I got a launch one from Ace Disc Golf. With the bag and the basket, I think it came to 150. But that's because I wanted the bag because portability and walking it around.
Yeah, which I did buy the bag. And I think the bag's about 30 quid. So
yeah, it is like that. It's pretty much like British pounds.
So if you do, if you're looking at 120 quid, like that, after a bit of sporting equipment, I have spent more on football boots.
Oh, mate, you're good. That's lightly putting it, isn't it? That's like what? That's boots, shin pads, a kit. Like literally, like nowadays with the economy, yeah, that's like a full kit for a person, like a Premier League team with your name on the back and everything, like. Easy money.
Pretty soon, it's probably just a shirt.
Yeah, it's just going to be a shirt. They're going to spray it on. That's the next future. But yeah, I honestly think if you've got a garden, it's ideal. I don't have a garden now because I've moved from having a house to having a flat, which is huge. But I am hilariously going to be like, yeah, I can easily set this up in my living room and throw it. Like I can easily do that. But I can still go to the park where I go to because it's literally a 5-minute drive. And for me, it was a 10-minute walk where I used to live, but I'm still going to go to that park because I'm used to it. It's quiet. The only thing that bothers me is hilarious dog walkers and people look at you weird like, what are you throwing? Oh, you're throwing discs. Okay.
Fine, we're quite lucky where we live. There's a lot of open parks.
Oh, it's great. It is really nice. I was tempted the other day to just go down, because we live in Hinckley, Hollycroft Park, because it's on a vertical hill.
Yeah.
And putting the basket up a hill. Because that's the one thing I think we don't do enough of when we put practice in, is putting uphill. I think the only one we have is when we play Bedworth, and it's the dreaded hole. I'm trying to remember what hole it is.
You mean four?
No, as in...
Four's on a hill.
Oh, four is on a hill. So you got four, but then the one before the launch, the big drive launch off the hill.
14.
14. Because obviously, if you overthrow that, you're going up a hill. And sometimes we throw it and we have to put uphill, don't we? If we overthrow it.
Like uphill.
Uphill, yeah. So I feel like that's...
I'm looking forward to the put-off that ends up on that hole.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And a very short put-off.
And a very short put-off, yeah, 100%.
But yeah, you know, we recommend getting a basket.
Yeah, 100%. Like, even if like you and your mates all chip in, like... You go halves with your mates or your group that you have, and you can just basically go, yeah, we're going to take a basket out somewhere. That's fine. You can take it anywhere. That's the best thing about the portability of these things. The surprising sturdiness of these things is quite impressive. Like, I haven't had no dogs attack it. They've attacked my bag, but they have never attacked the basket. But to be honest, it's... Yeah, it's incredibly portable.
Well, pretty soon as well, the four of us are going to have a basket. Richard's already got one, Ben's getting one, me and you have got one.
Man, we could just create our own courses.
Exactly. If you was actually saying, like, two tee pads from, like, two approaches to each basket.
Yeah.
You've automatically got eight holes. You add another tee pad to one of them baskets, you got a nine-hole course.
Yeah, that's the true,
right,
isn't
bit, it? The right bit of land, and we do know some landowners, the right bit of land, we could easily be doing that in the summer.
Oh, 100%. Crikey.
But that'd be something we talk about if and when.
If and when.
Need to speak to the right people. So something that happened, and as we said, there's been a bit of a gap in podcasts.
Yes. A lot has happened.
Yeah, a lot's happened. But something that happened just before, and I was quite excited to talk about it because it was happening like the week of the podcast, and I was like, oh, we actually get to talk about some fresh news.
Is it my favourite player throwing away his life?
No, it's the Castoplast deciding to discontinue their discs.
Yes.
And...
Interesting.
Yeah, why?
Tell me why. It is interesting.
So what's your theory? If I asked you, as somebody that knows nothing about disc golf, why would you discontinue a disc?
Because something better's coming out. I feel like if it was me, and I'm looking at it not just like as someone who's going to make money selling discs... why do TaylorMade constantly make golf clubs? They make a burner driver, and then literally within 8 months, there's a burner driver too. and it's got a different face and it's got this different type of technology in the thing, and then 8 months later then you've got the Burner 3, for example, or
because
whatever.
That's about making money.
Exactly. So it's got to be that for disc golf, or they just don't like the disc, or it's not selling much, so create a new disc that basically is better than that
one. Is it the LOTS?
It is the LOTS. Isn't it the LOTS and it's the CAX
Z?
Z, yeah. I think. Yeah, I'm pretty positive it's those.
I thought the LOTS was a popular disc.
Yeah, because isn't the LOTS like a Speed 9?
Well, I've got a LOTS and you've got a LOTS.
Oh, I've got a CAX.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I love my Swedish CAX. Bright yellow. Love that disc. Speed 6.
So, you know, it's but from, you know, a lot of the videos I watch, people throw LOTS. And I'm like, okay, so why would you discontinue that disc?
Is there a reason? Have you found the reason why?
No. Huh. They're launching some new discs.
Yeah, what so is it? The new one looks really nice. Because it was like lime green. I was like, that looks sick.
But you know, give me a new design. Do me a nice flashy LOTS.
Yeah.
I'd buy discs. If discs get broken in, I mean, I'm currently looking for a new Ape. You know,
I remember you need a new Ape.
Yeah, I'm going to wait, hold off until I find something special. So I've got discs that already replace it, but it'd be nice if I can have an Ape with a nice print on it. The old Ape is already retired. Mm. And make a shrine for my retired discs, I reckon.
I was going to say, yeah. Don't lose it, like me. Just don't lose your discs. Retire them. That's what you need to do. No, because, yeah, I don't know why. Like, I could understand different types of plastic for the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, no, I get that.
But stopping a disc, like manufacturing it, I'm assuming there's got to be something out there and we just haven't seen it. But, yeah.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it wasn't selling as well as I presumed. Maybe it's not as popular as I thought. Maybe it is that they're making a slightly better version and want to call it something different. Maybe they just want to make money. But maybe it's because I'm really passionate about disc golf, but I'd like to think it's more noble than that. It's a bit like when the Labour Party make a really horrible decision, isn't it?
It's like golf balls. Why do we keep making golf balls with new technology? Well, it gets a little bit further every time. It's like razors, like razor blades, the closest shave. Well, the last one was a closer shave than this one. What is it? Yeah, it's like half a degrees more. Like, literally, they're going to run out where you're just using sandpaper to just, like, get rid of all your hair off your face.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the DLC of a cosmetic new sword.
You
put the game on, and after about 2 minutes, you go, well, it's still the same game.
It's still the same game.
Same game. Same game. Just a bit prettier.
I love that. It comes full circle to where how we all became friends, video games. I love it. That's mad. Yeah, there's got to be something out there, though. Hopefully by the next cast, there's something out. Why? Like, why have they stopped it? Because I'm assuming other companies have done the same thing as well. Have stopped manufacturing certain discs and replaced it with another disc. It's got to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But there again, we've not really played for that long, so there probably is reasons why, and there's probably better people out there who probably know why. But we're just a little bit curious.
Yeah, I'm just a bit concerned that one day I'll lose the zombie and then I'll go to buy a new one and discontinue that a few months back.
Discontinue. I think if they do discontinue discs, you would want to buy a few before.
Oh, yeah, if Latitude ever said we're discontinuing the Saint, I would have a serious conversation with the missus.
Oh, yeah. Be like, so I'm going to buy 10 of them. Just ignore it. It's fine. It's all good.
A large shipment
of Saints. They're just like, what is that? You're like, I might have said 10. I might have put a couple of zeros on the end of it. I'm sorry.
Just as an apology, I've not had a chance to go back and listen to the end of the last cast. And as I say, it's been a while. I can't remember if we said we were going to talk about plastics this week, but decided that we're not going to talk about plastics this week.
Oh, yeah.
I quite like our Rayman.
Our Rayman, who's got a gravelly voice.
Yeah, he needs to be here for that conversation.
He's the man. He knows everything.
Although we understand plastics, he's the one who remembers what things are called.
Yeah.
He doesn't own a PD, but I guarantee you can tell you the flight numbers of a
PD. He can tell you a PD.
but he also doesn't know where his keys are. Like, even when he's listening to this now, he's probably tapping his pockets, wondering
like
where his keys are.
And probably swearing at both of us for going, like, don't keep saying I've got gravelly voice with sandpaper. No, yeah, like, Ben knows his numbers and knows everything, so he's like, yeah, having him would be more ideal than us two, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, apology over.
Yes.
Disc of the week.
Disc of the week. I've got mine. I need it. You fire away. It is. Mine is The Judge. It's recently come back in the bag because, funny enough, because we started this podcast talking about putting, I recently decided to put it back in my bag, and it's just solid. I'm really, really happy with it. And when I wanted something a bit more heavier than the Sensei, I went to Quarry Park, and one of the guys there, I was saying, I throw a Sensei and I got a Banger GT. The Banger GT is very light. The Sensei seems quite medium. I want something a little bit heavier. And the first thing he said to me was like, you can't go wrong with like dynamic discs and The Judge. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And I was like, cool. I'll have a look at it. And yeah, I got it in baby blue. It's absolutely amazing. And the numbers are...
Oh, I have got them. Yeah, they are coming up right this second.
Oh, I love this, because this is the joys of having your phone on charge and not, like, you know, being prepared for your disc of the week.
Speed 2, glide 4, turn 0, fade 1.
Yeah, so when I throw it, I know it always finishes a little bit to the left. I think the last round we played, you saw me throw it a little bit more, and throw it with more conviction than I would with a Sensei.
Yeah,
and I just like it. It seems to me I like it as a bit more of a distance putter. I would still stick with the Sensei and the Banger for a little bit closer, but I think just because of the weight and how I know, and the glide, kind of going down your route a little bit down with glide recently, loving glidier discs.
Well, why put the effort in when the disc doesn't do the work?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the discs want to do what they're designed for: be thrown and fly through the air. But yeah, I would highly recommend The Judge. Like, I really do like it. Obviously, there's a great video of the putt-off of me completely missing the basket, and me just going, that was awful. And that was great.
Find all our videos at YouTube.
Yeah, find all our videos along with this podcast. It's great. And it's, oh mate, it was so bad. I was laughing my head off, because that was the first time I went out and I was like, right, I'm going to... Because I think with the round we played before we did that, I was like, my goal today is just to use The Judge on everything and get used to it again.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we've talked about it on the podcast as well, about like when we go out for rounds, what is our end goal of the thing? And my thing is to get used to that disc. Because I'm not trying to be like Ben and have every single putter in the world, but I would like to have a variety of putters. And I feel like now I've got three that are solid, of different weights and different numbers.
It almost feels like a collection of guns, doesn't it? Like that being a Matrix, yeah, where it rolls out that sleeve of guns. Like, you just want about 20 putters, you can go...
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it would be like...
Which one am I going to throw 2 foot this time?
Exactly. Like, what is it? Like, from Resident Evil 4, the merchant in a trench coat. It's like, what do you want? What are you buying? Like, you know, just like, just walk out with it like a load of discs. Like, what are you selling? Like, literally, just I'll have a trench coat on and I'll just pull out a putter and throw it. No, I really rate... it was brilliant. I love it. I still need to play the new one. I hear it's really good. But yeah, no, I really rate The Judge. I still am a Sensei boy for life. I'll always say the Sensei is probably my favourite putter, but The Judge is definitely creeped into being on the practice range a lot more, and it is sinking more than 10 metres away than the Sensei is, because it's got that more glide and it's a bit more heavier. And I've gone on record saying I like heavier discs, so it's just, it fits my play style really well. So The Judge, and it's quite cheap as well. I got it for, I think, £8, and it's between £8 and £10, and it's different weight, and again, funny enough, different plastics and whatever. But yeah, I think I got it in like the base plastic, and the idea is I would love to get one in black and put the Judge Dredd badge on there.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd look sick. But that's in a perfect world when I can figure out life and how to die and do fun stuff like that. Because I'm still looking at that.
So I've held a Judge recently, because I had a little play with it when we were out last. And Interestingly, I've also gone for a putter.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think I've gone for a very similar putter.
Okay.
I've gone for the Baron.
Fair.
I'm actually a bit shocked that we've got to 8 episodes and I've not...
You haven't brought up a Baron.
I haven't brought up the Baron.
We brought it up in conversation.
Oh, yeah, lot, probably a lot.
But not Disc of the Week.
Not Disc of the Week. So if you want to know what is Disc of the Week, go back and listen to the previous podcast. No. it's Disc of the Week because it's my go-to putter. Mm. I was talking earlier about getting in my own head and, you know, when I'm having games where I've got into my own head, that's when I say, well, only the Baron's going to... Long shots, short shots, only the Baron's going to come out.
Yeah.
Because for long shots, it's a 50% disc. I can nail it 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And I've got discs like the Banger where I'm, you know, more 75, 80% for a 10 metre. But for a short one, the Baron's 100% disc.
Yeah.
98% disc.
But you've also hit some of your long... Haven't you hit long birdies with the Baron?
Oh, yeah,
as well?
No, yes,
like that
it's
as well.
It's
yeah.
a 50% disc. I've hit some
it's
really
very,
big ones.
Very
I've hit
long
15,
ones.
20 metre ones with the Baron. Yeah. You know, it's a nice, sturdy disc. Now, every other Baron I've held wobbles around. This one's nice and sturdy.
Okay.
And I just like, I think like you're saying about the judge, it's just, it feels like it wants to be thrown. It feels like it wants to be putted. I don't mind smashing it into the chains. It's a 4.3, 0.2.5.
Okay.
Speed four. Yeah. Mm. Doesn't feel like it. I've never really put any gusto into it. Even though I've just said you can throw it into the chains. I've never really like...
Mm.
I've had a couple of big throws with it, see what it does. But I'm not into big throwing putters. If you're going to throw something big with a big glide.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's a nice, sturdy disc. And that is about all I've got to say about it. Because what else can you say about a sturdy putter? Good grip. Nice.
Yeah.
It feels like it wants to be hitting to the chains. It feels like it just wants to live in there.
Yeah. I feel like when we look back on our like careers at the moment as amateur disc golfers, is we have different likes for how discs feel, types of plastic, the speed, the glide, all that stuff. But I feel like the one most different thing for all of us is our putters. Because I feel all of us are very different when it comes to putters.
I don't feel like what I've just said done the Baron justice, but I can't think of anything else to say. But I will say what I said to Ben on Sunday. So we were just playing around, and I said to him, even if Latitude came and said, Dan, we want to sponsor you, I think my caveat would be, I need my Baron in my bag.
Make me a Baron.
Yeah, either make me something
make
that's,
me something that's
identical
to a Baron.
Or my Baron stays in the bag.
Sugar honey iced tea. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, and getting used to a different putter is kind of... Well, then that's it with anything, isn't it? If you were sponsored by something, you would be like, make me this, or I'll have to learn a whole new... Because that's how all the pros have. Like, we've seen it with Simon Lazat on his vlogs, like, transitioning from Discmania to MVP... He spent what? He didn't do a vlog for like almost 2 months because he was literally getting used to his discs. And if you watch the pro tour and whatever, yeah, Simon's learned those discs pretty freaking well. Let's be honest, he's done a pretty solid job. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's like our argument we had a few podcasts back. Like, could you give up like certain discs if you got sponsored by things?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So let's cut out of the middle, man. I'd be sponsored by anybody. So DG UK.
Yeah.
Sponsor me. Why not?
Good old... Yeah, because...
What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, it's true. Well, the thing is, what is it? It's like, we went... I'm trying to remember what course we went to. And I was like, the Baron, there was a really rubbery Baron. And I was like, that freaked me the heck out.
And
like,
Richard's got quite a flexible Baron. Nowhere near as... flexible as Melton Mowbray, the ones with the jelly barons.
The jelly barons. Yeah. Like, Rich's Baron is mad. When we did foreplay...
I think they had Richard's Baron and left it in the sun. I think that's what's happened there.
Mate, I freaked out when he passed me that, because that was insane. A very insane, like, Baron.
Jumping subjects, but you just mentioned something that I think is worth a mention whilst I go back to the agenda and figure out what's going on. why don't you tell the listeners about the lovely video they can go and watch right now? Our most popular video.
Our most popular video is Foreplay, isn't it? Yeah, our favourite. I love this.
It was, last time I looked, I think it was like 75, 76 views.
And I'm happy with that.
And that's a week.
And that's a week. And I know that's not major numbers or whatever, but that for us, we're happy with that.
We get about 75 listeners, so I don't know where they... every other video, like, the 25 views, right? Considering we're all new to this, and we're literally having a chat earlier about the thumbnails not being right. And
it's mad.
And if you do go and watch the video now, Lee will probably talk about links in the description that are not there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I need to go and sort that out. We're all new to this. So 25 views on some of the unboxing videos and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, this is great.
And that's all you want.
And then we put the Foreplay video up, 75 views in a week.
I loved it.
As I say, while I am logged back into my phone, why don't you tell the listeners about Foreplay and the video that they can watch?
Yeah, so when we were talking about this on our podcast briefly about our whole YouTube channel, what we wanted to do, we have a few series that we want to do, which is quite, for us, it basically brings the fun aspect out of disc golf. So we've got Match Play, which obviously is a more serious video where we will go to a course and we'll have a little bit of banter, but those are way more serious videos because we are trying to play it like serious.
Let's face it, you're all trying to beat me.
Yeah, we're all trying to beat Dan. Let's be honest, we're all trying to beat Dan. And
I'm having a poor run at the minute, Lee, so you might get lucky on Sunday.
It's true, maybe. So Match Play for us is basically what we wanted to do is we want to do a video series called Match Play, which basically we'll go to a course, we'll play it, and we'll play it how we would play it and play it seriously, like if you were watching the Pro Tour or whatever. A little bit of banter, it's all good. Foreplay is who we are as a group of individuals. The whole concept behind Foreplay is that you take four discs from your bag. They can literally be anything. And when I mean anything, you'll see it in the video. There is some absolute Tom, and I'll quote myself, Tom right here with this, with Foreplay, which I absolutely love. And basically, you pick any four discs, and then as soon as you throw it, that is gone out of your bag. And then when you go to it, you put your marker down, and then whoever was to the left or the right of you, or however order you want to do it in.
Yeah, pick an order to start. Don't realize you're halfway through this process.
100%. 100%. And then you basically pass that disc to the next person. So then your disc goes to somebody else's, and then you'll get someone from a disc from someone else's bag. So it's obviously hilarious because you're learning to throw other people's discs, but also you can get royally screwed over.
Yeah, so if you got a birdie, you've only given away two discs.
Yes.
And the person that you've given two discs to may have got a bogey and given away four discs. So suddenly that person has only got two discs in their bag.
100%. And we've got an unwritten rule because we all own Bergs. If you have no discs, you have to throw your Berg.
We are going to replace that disc. We just need to find out what with.
Oh, should it be our worst disc in our bag that we can't
throw? I think it should be my back garden frisbee, but...
Could be. Well, to be honest,
it can't be.
Like. Well, the thing is, let's be honest, let's think, because like, Ben's worst disc he says in his bag is the dagger.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad putter, I just think he can't throw it. No offence, Ben. Mine is the river, but that seems really harsh. Like a 7-7 seems pretty solid. But no, we're going to figure out the rule for that. But basically, you keep floating your discs around and you play a course and you have a bit of fun. And then whoever gets the best score wins. But the whole point of it is to have fun, learn, throw different discs. And you'll see in the video, there is some absolute madness that goes on. You get to see our personalities more, I personally think. I think that's more our play style. That's us in a nutshell. Our Foreplay,
we're not thinking about what we're saying. It's just
free-flowing. It is. And I feel like that is what... basically, Foreplay for us is exactly what disc golf's all about. And then, obviously, we've got Putt Off, which is a series where we have three lives each. We have three putters. And then it's basically like horse with putting. Where basically you throw, you make it, everyone else to make it from there and et cetera, and you can move around and do stuff. So obviously it's improving our putting, but also it's bragging rights at the same time to say who's the best putter.
Yeah, and giving us a bit of a fun game to play and put on YouTube. I will say with Putt Off, the rules are being developed as it goes on.
I literally love how our concepts constantly keep on evolving, like the rules need to change for this.
So basically what happens, and you see this in the Foreplay video, is that we come across a situation that we never considered and then go... This is the rule.
Yeah, sugar. We need to make this. But no, there's other things we want to do with the YouTube channel. So you've seen, Dan's mentioned it a little bit. We've done course reviews on there. We've also done unboxings. We're going to talk
I
about...
I do want to do more unboxings.
Yeah. I feel
I just
like
don't know what. I don't,
it's tricky.
I don't think we should ever unbox anything that we know. I think it has to be a mystery unboxing.
Okay.
Because if we're just unboxing, if you buy yourself, I don't know, a new Wraith, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to do the packaging for my new Wraith. Get real, like.
Yeah,
I know people like that stuff, but it's just, I don't see.
And also, I feel like for us, it's because we have a limited bag. Our podcasts, hilariously, we keep telling you our disc of the week. At some point, we will run out of discs to talk about because...
I don't know. I count them in. I've got 37.
You've got 37? Jeez. Okay. I only have like
Some of these will never, ever be disc of the week. Yeah. There's like random discs that I've picked up along the way. But
but our whole idea behind our YouTube channel was just to basically document our journey and talk about disc golf. And now it's evolved into something more than that. It's like... us having a good time in front of cameras, and like also the fact that we've got other stuff planned, like we've got vlogs that we want to do. Obviously we don't have a running title for it, but we love the Berg. It's a hilariously controversial disc. We've already had one Berg Masters, and the individual who won it is in this room.
It probably will be called Berg Master.
I feel like a Berg Master, because it would just be like Master. It would be really funny to put the Metallica. But we want to do some fun stuff out there, which, you know, it basically is just us having a laugh, but also gives us creativity and shows you what disc golf's all about, having fun with your mates. And you can literally... the funniest thing that I've said when people have watched foreplay and match play, the first two things it goes like, match play seems a lot more serious. Foreplay, you get to see people's personalities. And I'm like, yeah, if you don't listen to our podcast, you can kind of understand our personalities a little bit. And then,
but even now, you know, we're thinking about what to say. You know, today we've not, but typically I send you the topic. You've had all day to think about it.
100%.
You know, I'm writing these weeks in advance. I'm doing my research. Earlier, when I was actually like doing a little bit of research for something we'll talk about later, in my head, I'm already planning on what I intend to say later. Maybe not word for word, but I've got a rough idea.
A rough idea, yeah.
On the YouTube videos, it's more just
hilarious. It is absolute chaos, and I love it. And I feel like with more we do, you get to see more of us, and you get to see us improve or hilariously get worse at disc golf. I think that's the best thing about it, because it's a like any other sport, you can only get better or worse, and so it's quite fun. I think what was the video where we both, I want to say it's when we turn on the camera and we basically laughed going like, we are playing crap now the camera's on. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
Because it's true. We basically had, what, probably our best rounds, and then we went and did match play, and we were like, wow, we threw this better last time when the camera wasn't there.
The moment a camera comes on, this week's put off, I'm awful. Actually awful. The moment a camera comes on, the moment there's somebody that stops to have a gander, I don't know what goes on.
Yeah. I love it. I love the fact that we have bragging rights for some of these videos, because we don't want to tell you who won. We want you to go watch it and just see what it's all, the madness is all about. Like, because I feel like every course we want to do, like when it comes to editing them, they just flow really nice. Like editing these is so much fun to do. But the funniest thing about it is just like recording it is hilarious. Because I can give you a spoiler now. Ben, who is not here to defend himself, Ben forgets the cameras on and just will not film the disc or
Ben's
the flight.
Reaction cam.
Ben's reaction cam. He basically will point in one direction. The disc will go one way and the camera will stay the same. So let's just say he will not get hired if he had to do any sort of camera work for disc golf in the future.
It's the one on the bloopers video where
I nearly get that.
It's a short ace, and you know I can't have any kind of bragging rights for nearly getting a short ace, but I nearly got a short ace, and Ben's filming me and Lee.
Yeah.
He's filming me and Lee.
He's filming. I love it. Honestly, it's so funny.
But that brings us on to our next scheduled topic, because we went off. I thought you were just going to talk about the rules of foreplay, but it doesn't matter.
No, foreplay is simple. It's fun. You guys out there, if you ever play it, you should play it. It's a ton of fun.
Go watch us play it.
Go watch it.
But the next topic, we're seeing ourselves on film anyway.
Yes.
So something that, when we first got into disc golf, and I'll go on the old YouTube and go, you know, how do I get better? One of the bits of advice that was given to us was watch yourself on film. Mm. It's one of the big bits of advice that's repeated again and again and again. Now, starting to watch myself on film more and more, because when you're editing these videos, you
yes.
get the luxury of seeing the same 4 seconds over and over and over again
yep.
until everything falls into place and everything's just right. Which annoys all the people around me when I'm making them in the lounge and someone's trying to watch the TV. actually seeing, we also get to see them in like different aspects that you wouldn't necessarily see yourself in other sports or other scenarios or other things you're trying to learn. So just for example, I slowed one of the clips down because you were swearing, and surprisingly, I wouldn't have said this prior to actually having to edit any videos. You are the worst.
I am the worst because I forget sometimes that I do swear. I have got a bit of a bad mouth on me. It's bad.
The moment the camera comes on outside, when the camera's off, he's an angel.
It is. It's when it's the camera. It's like, honestly, I forget. Like, literally, I don't know what it is.
But actually, what was I saying? I've completely forgot what I was bloody saying.
You're talking about us viewing.
Viewing ourselves.
Viewing ourselves
so
on camera.
I had to put it in slow motion because I was just trying to pinpoint exactly when you started swearing.
Yeah.
And actually watched myself in slow motion, actually showing me. And again, you know, I'm going to keep whinging on and go, oh, my balance. But I know I lean to the left anyway because I'm off balance.
Right.
Now, when I watched the video in slow motion and I was throwing a forearm, I noticed that my shoulder dipped left lots before I thought it was dipping left.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's dipping left even before I've really stepped up, and I thought I was stepping up with it high and twisting into my throw, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm not. I'm starting actually a lot lower than I realised I was. So I'm actually almost...
Overcompensating. Okay,
yeah, so actually being able to see this stuff on film, I think, is actually improving my game.
And okay.
You know, just watching it at normal speed, you know, I'm actually going, there's a throw, and I think it's on the match play video where I launch it and it goes massively left. So I went back a couple of seconds, watched it again, and I can actually see my body movement's brilliant, but my wrist placement is completely off.
Is what cost you. Got you, okay.
And it's actually allowing me to look at this stuff and go, okay, so this is what went wrong. And this is what I've now got to concentrate on. And my wrist placement is the biggest thing. It's the biggest inconsistency in the videos that I watch.
Right, okay.
Obviously, we've got all the clips. You know, you go on YouTube and you can watch the full videos and stuff. We've got random clips. So I can just literally watch myself drive off hole 15 over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I've got about 4 or 5 clips of me driving off 15 now. So I know what my drive looks like. I know the consistencies that I'm doing, and I know the inconsistencies that I'm doing off 15.
Right.
So it's improving my shot off 15. As I said, I'm having a bit of a bad run at the minute. The one thing that has been consistent is my drive off 15, because I've got it into my head what I need to be correcting and what I need to be doing.
Right.
So actually, I'm going to fully support everybody on YouTube that has said previously, film yourself, watch yourself.
Film yourself and watch yourself, yeah.
Do it.
100%.
Well, what are your thoughts? Because obviously you're the other editor of our group. You're the better editor of our group.
Can't
you will
say
notice
that.
Two. No, you can say that. Oh. You will notice two vastly different qualities in editing. And once done on my mobile phone, whilst I'm just like got half hour in the evening.
It's the joy of having editing software.
Yeah, Lee's got editing software. He knows what he's doing, and he produces the good quality shit.
It's honestly, I feel for me, it's like I can learn from every shot, and I know exactly what my I'm the biggest like criticism for me. I know when I've had a good shot and when I've had a bad shot, and I feel like for me, like recently thinking about it is, I am overpowering things sometimes, which I don't need to do. I am also, hilariously, it hasn't happened for a while, but late release was a problem for me for a very long time.
Late release!
Late release, as we call it. Oh, that clip never gets old. and disc selection is probably the other one, just because like I would throw it and be like, it's got to be this, and then I'd throw it and be like, it's not that, and then I'd literally stop and be like, right, I'm going to throw what I should have, and I throw it and I'm just like... should have gone with my gut, so I need to like listen to my gut more, even though it's slowly evaporating the gut. it's just really interesting because it is like what you say, like watching yourself, you're kind of like, right, I hold the camera, I'm doing all the talking, but I think with over time all of us are gonna have that of holding the camera and talking like absolute bollocks and having a laugh and like talking and getting some smash talk. And I feel like that comes more with me doing what I've done for such a long time and being comfortable in front of camera and doing stuff. Like, I feel like that's always the biggest thing coming into this was the fact of going, we're going to film ourselves and we're going to put it on the internet. What's the worst thing that can happen? Comments. That's what's the worst thing that can possibly happen. Because when you create anything on YouTube, you're making yourself incredibly vulnerable for the internet to either give you positive feedback or rip you a new one. Just look at some of the content I create and when I make rules wrong and I hilariously make the quote, we make mistakes so you don't have to, so you can learn from our mistakes. And some people are so kind that they point it out and then we never ever make that same mistake again. And it's because they generally want us to do better at stuff and learn.
I'll tell you straight, if you've anybody's commented on any of the YouTube stuff or any of the podcast stuff, I don't know, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
I am me, right? And when we started making this podcast, I was actually a bit concerned that I'd either end up being a bit too over the top or I'll end up being a bit too quiet.
Yeah.
And what I realised is very quickly, I'm just very comfortably being me. And
yeah.
But that's 100%. Who I am. You know this. This is who I am in real life. I don't care who you are. I'm just me. And if you don't like me,
exactly. Exactly. Our personalities is like we know for a fact when we go to tournaments and stuff, it's going to be educational because all these guys are super serious and whatever, and we're just completely opposite. Like, literally, I think our first tournament we went to, a few people knew us and they said hello and they were very friendly. And there were some people who I just was like, yeah, that seems very different. not to name any names.
No.
But it is quite funny because I feel like as we continue our journey and we want to do other stuff with, like, obviously going to tournaments and doing content and doing the other stuff, people might start to notice us, which would be quite funny to do.
Yeah, look out for Diskheads merch.
Yeah.
That's the next big project.
That's the next big project. Our logos are looking sick, by the way. Just giving you a heads up. Chris is doing some mad things, which I absolutely love, which I feel like all of us, I think, will love. I really like it. But yeah, like for us, I feel that the only thing, like you said, Dan, we can touch on is basically you can see where you're going right and where you're going wrong. And even if you do online lessons or any lessons with disc golf or any kind of sport or anything, you will learn over time what to do and what not to do. And even if you have a pro or a teacher, they would say, oh, you're doing this, so just tweak that, do that, that's it. And it's very interesting because it's like everyone's different, everyone throws everything different. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, you're now doing a new putting technique from throwing from the belly instead of doing other stuff. And what's comfortable for you, I feel, is so unique in this sport, because I think with football, you know how to kick a ball, you'll always side foot it or like toe poke it or whatever. It's very simple how to do that. With disc golf, we're seeing so many unique ways of throwing, choice of discs, doing so. There's so many different varieties of thing. I think there's no wrong answer.
Yeah.
With it, I think it's whatever makes you comfortable. And you can try and replicate stuff and you can Frankenstein bits and bobs together, but it's just that constant practice and understanding what it is what will make you a better person.
I can't even replicate my own shots off.
Yeah, there's a few where you've had like, bloody hell, that's probably my nicest putt I've ever done. And then you're like, cool. And then the next hole, you're just like, how the hell have I missed that when I did that on the other hole?
Yeah, I was like 5 foot short.
Yeah,
what happened
you're like,
there?
What's going on? And it just makes me laugh because it's just kind of like you look at stuff and you're just kind of like, right, so I've done something right there. And then you just kind of break down, what have I done right there? Oh, that's what I've done right. That's what I can improve on.
And yeah.
It's just that in general, which is good. And it's fun. Like, we're just documenting us being hilarious. Like, and, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but, you know.
Arthur's cup of tea.
It's Arthur's tea.
So, beginner tip.
Oh, okay.
So, I love this beginner tip. I've got play in all weather.
Yes, we have played in all weather. We have.
All weather.
Yeah, we have played in all weather.
The only thing we have not played in yet, and we got close to this last weekend and you missed it,
sun?
Was the sun.
Oh, yeah, actually, murky Midlands.
Like the proper sun. We've played on a nice day.
Yeah.
But we have not played in the train track mountain heat.
Yeah, fair play. Fair play.
And
Kassara
just
Desert.
So you know, if you're listening from anywhere international, England genuinely has a problem that it gets too hot, our train tracks melt.
Yeah, that's a thing that actually happens. Yeah, we've played in all weathers. We played in the snow. We've played in the rain.
played in the torrential rain.
Torrential rain. Found out that that cagoule that I had, or coat, was just literally a bin liner. Should never wear it in torrential rain. We played windy, didn't we? We played it super windy the other week. when we played.
We played Quarry Park in the wind.
That was, yeah. That oh, that's when I almost killed those two women.
Yeah.
With a mentor. Because of the wind. It wasn't my throw. It was the wind.
It was the wind.
It was the wind. Just to quote Stu Eagerford. What was that? The wind. Yeah, it was. It was the wind.
You do realise that pretty soon you're not going to be called the magician. It's going to be like the hitman.
I'm going to be the hitman or the murderer. Yeah, just basically that. No, I feel, yeah, our beginner tip is you need to go out in there. Because when I told my dad we were going out and we were going in the wind, he was like, you're insane. I was like, yeah, you wouldn't go when you play normal golf, would you? He was like, hell no, I wouldn't go out in that weather. I'm like, yeah, but we would. Because it affects everything.
I think it's a bit like surfing. Like, you wouldn't look at a stormy sea with big waves and going for a swim in that.
Yeah.
You might go, I'm gonna go and surf. If you could surf, I don't think that I would, but if you could surf, you might be like, oh, actually they're big waves, I need to go and hit them before the big storm actually comes in. You know, with wind is a disc best friend if you throw it right.
Yeah, 100%.
It's also a disc worst enemy if you throw it wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, 100% on that front.
But yeah, the beginner tip is to get out there in all weathers, and that's basically because we live in Britain. We're amateur disc golfers talking about amateur disc golf in the UK. You know, if we have got international listeners, which I doubt. But if we
hello
have,
if you are
yeah, hello. But unfortunately, in the UK, it could be raining at 7 o'clock and scorching heat at 8. Like,
yes. Yeah, I think not. The last time I played with you guys was a prime example. It was raining, and then the sun came out, and then it was super cloudy, and then it got really warm really fast again, and then it rained, and it was just like, because we live in the murky Midlands, and that's the Midlands, but we always call it the murky Midlands because it is. if you can live here,
I mean, right now it's murky.
Yeah, if you can survive in the murky Midlands, you can live in any weather in anywhere in the world, because you get all the weather types in the murky Midlands. It honestly, because it's so funny, because it's like when it's cold, your disc will not fly as it should. When it's warm, your disc will go further and act different. And I was like, cool, we're in Britain. We're always depressed because it's cold and it rains all the time. So it's going to be so different.
When you hear that, it's like, does it shit?
It might do.
But actually, but actually by playing, and because we have, like I say, played in all weathers,
mm-hmm.
discs do not want to fly distance in the cold. And whether that's because I'm cold and I can't operate the same as I would in the warm, or whether that's something to do with the disc, I cannot drive as far in the cold as I can in the warm.
True. Although, to be honest, when we played in the snow, that was fun just because the amount of skidding that happened the disc was so good, because it would be like, I just got 20 extra metres because my disc decided to go, like literally find another, a second life, shall we say.
The skid mark plastic was definitely coming out on that.
Mate, I'm telling you now, okay, because I only had the Rockstar at that point, and that was premium plastic. That disc flew and it slides. The S-line plastic that I love, or the C-line plastic that we love to use in my bag, we've now decided to call it skid mark plastic, because no matter how I throw it, it will slide. And
no matter what ground
it lands on, it will just take off and go, yeah, have fun with that. And it does, because it just skips, and it's dangerous, because you're just kind of like, no, I want it to stop there. No, it's gone an extra 10 because it decided to take a skip. But no, yeah, I completely agree. Play in all weathers, have fun with it, and yeah, get ready to like have an educational fun time. Because I feel like playing in all weathers also makes you understand your bag better, and can understand, right, if it's super windy and it's coming from this direction, if I throw it, I don't know, hyzer or however we pronounce it, I still get confused by those things. You can change the flight of your disc and be like, oh God, I just did better on that hole by that making that subtle change, and understanding that, you're like, okay, that's pretty cool. Because I still don't understand the Anheuser, the Heiser, the, even though we had that cool podcast, you should go back and listen to it about it. I still get confused by it, because they're just like, yeah, I'm gonna throw some Anheuser, and I'm like, sure. Just look at it and go like, yeah, I don't know those words. But no, all weathers.
I want to develop a simpler way of explaining it so everyone can remember. Let's
here we go.
Let's no. I'm not off the top of my head. I'm just thinking that's gonna be my mission between now and the next podcast.
Tilt it more left, tilt it more right. There we go, I think.
Big topic.
Yes.
Big topic.
Big
so
topic.
We call the podcast Breaking the Rules.
Breaking the Rules.
Because we're going to talk about the new rules that PDGA have brought in. I say new rules, they were additions or trying to clear up old rules.
Yes.
Happened this week. It's only within this week that they announced the 2023 rule changes.
Yes.
It is but we are going to discuss the biggest controversy in disc golf at the current.
Oh my days. Drum roll, please.
You can no longer bend a disc in half and throw it.
I'm so gutted by that.
I mean,
it was my number one
driving technique. I don't understand when you would ever use it other than to take the piss.
I'm trying to figure out when would you do it. Like,
but there are some new rules. Let's go through the rules.
Yeah.
Because there are some new rules, and some of them have got me thinking, well, why would you do that anyway? But
I'm curious now.
So the first new rule is about the time it takes you to take a shot.
Okay.
So it's always been 30 seconds. That's not changed. It's still 30 seconds. You get 30 seconds to take your shot. The rules are basically been made to be a bit clearer.
Okay.
So the first part of the rule is after the person in front of you has finished. So you don't throw a disc at the same time as the guy who's thrown a disc before you.
Okay, yeah, that's common sense and courtesy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Not at the same time.
Just to make that clear.
That seems like a really good game for our channel, though. Yeah. Throw discs at all the same time.
It's a continuously clear for them 30 seconds. So if you're 15 seconds into your 30 seconds and suddenly a dog walker appears that you couldn't see previously and is now in your line, you can then stop, wait for it to be clear.
Oh, okay.
And then take a 30 seconds again.
Okay, that's nice.
Which I think makes sense.
Yeah, because it will distract you if it's like a big thing or something in the crowd. If you're in a big group, like someone.
I think we're literally talking about somebody has to be in your way.
There's 100%.
You think about hole nine on Bedworth. If somebody just walks around that corner, they're suddenly in your firing
dead.
Line.
They are dead. Is the best way to describe it. in the nicest way possible.
Especially if you're throwing discs.
Hells yeah! I'm not even going to argue on that front.
That you're next in the queue.
Right.
And that you've had adequate time to check your line. But the main rule change is that you get 30 seconds. And I think the adequate time to check your line is not like a minute. I think it's like, I can't expect you to arrive at the pin and me go, well, I've thrown Lee, your 30 seconds have started.
I would laugh when so hard if you started doing that. It's like, Lee, make your mind up. What are you doing? Come on, mate. You've got to be on this.
You're cleaning that disc for? Get on with it.
Got to clean discs.
I think you're allowed to actually approach the tee pad, put your bag down, have a look down the fairway and go, this is a disc I'm going to throw, step up to the plate,
100%.
And then set yourself up. That's when your 30 seconds starts from.
Yeah, okay.
That's the way I understand it anyway.
Yeah.
And the whole point of us talking about this today is that if we've got this wrong, and the PDGA need to go back and reevaluate A, how they've worded things, and B, the video presentation that they put together that I've learnt this information from.
It's wrong!
Because if I'm wrong, then they haven't taught me right.
They have not taught, they have failed.
Rule number two change.
Okay.
This is to do with debris. Now, this is quite interesting because this actually affects our historic rounds around Bedworth.
I'm very intrigued by this because this is a very controversial thing in normal golf debris.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things put on the course, this is the change.
Right, okay.
Things that have been put on the course on purpose to create an obstacle. So do you know when we went to Mount Amobri and we were talking to that lovely lady in the calf and she was saying that when they do the 18 holes, they bring temporary holes obstacles and things.
Okay.
So I presume they're meaning this. Fake rocks and... wavy hat, flailing tube men.
Imagine if they had them. Oh my god!
I don't know what these fake obstacles would be. That would be
needs
awesome.
To be like just like a like a straight shot like tunnel. Put it in gillies, just gillies trees with inflatable tube.
It's gonna be the first disc heads tournament, mate.
Yeah, we're going to just have their wading tube men and some... Oh, mate, that has to happen. That's so good.
But yeah, so things have been put on the course on purpose as an obstacle. These are not casual debris.
Right.
Now.
Okay.
So that made me go, well, what the hell does that mean? So casual debris. So when you're playing around,
okay,
if you have, let's say, a tree,
mm-hmm,
that is a tree,
yes.
And the rules apply that you play from where it lies.
Yes.
Yeah. Out of bounds is out of bounds. So if you've got a waterway that is out of bounds, then it's out of bounds.
Yeah.
So Gillies is a great example. Gillies got a couple of creeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not marked on any map saying they're out of bounds.
No.
So these are actually casual waters. So where we have made you Van Damme yourself.
Oh, I love a good Van Damme.
Across a creek to play from essentially behind your disc.
Yeah.
You can actually take the disc out of the water and you can play up to a meter behind. Well, you play as far behind the disc as necessary. Not
that
as you want.
Sense. No, but
so
as necessary.
The OB rule is that you can play as far behind the disc as you want to.
Right.
If you're going out of bounds.
Right, okay. But so you can still have a run-up if you wish. Okay.
Yeah, with this rule, I think you still have a run-up. You're playing from... So you get legal footing. Basically.
Legal footing, yeah.
So you're probably not going to want to run up to a legal footing position in a creek.
End up in the creek.
So this also counts for relief. And this is where casual debris comes in. So on hole 17, there was the tree that half fell down.
I know.
This created quite a big log, shall we call it?
It
was three quarters of a tree. And it was in the middle of the fairway, and it presented a problem. We didn't know the relief and casual obstacle rules, so what we've been doing is trying to play around said log, and if you got stuck in the log, we've been playing from as close to the log as you possibly can get, sometimes creating a bit of a issue.
Yes.
Now, because this was not intentionally part of the golf course,
right?
It's casual debris. So we could have taken a relief and actually taken a meter or so back. If it was tournament, there would have been rules to how much relief you could take.
Okay.
And sometimes there's a relief zone. Because it was us casually playing, we could have said a meter or 2 meters or whatever it was, instead of trying to like force each other to play from inside a tree.
Become one with the tree. Yeah, that's true.
So I found that quite interesting. So the rule change is actually about the fact that these temporary obstacles are not casual debris. So even though they are placed there, if a log like we're describing has been placed there on purpose as part of the course, then that's not casual debris.
No.
But if a tree has half fallen down, there's now a log in your way.
Yes.
That's casual debris.
Okay. Interesting.
So I found that quite interesting.
Hells yeah. That makes such a difference to some of the... Well, now the tree's been cleared up, so it's okay. But it's just like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you take relief... apparently you can take relief from any debris and it will cost you a point.
Ooh.
So if you take relief from your temporary position...
Right.
It's going to cost you the point, unless it's stated elsewhere in the rules. So you think back to the Gillies tournaments, they were saying that if your disc got stuck into them Blair Witch style loggy bits,
relief. Yeah, you were allowed those things. Jesus. Good luck with those.
Yeah, we're actually at Gillies on Sunday, so A, we're going to be filming more videos that we spoke about earlier, and B, we're going to be crying about smashing up our discs.
Jesus Christ. The Raptor's going to return to breaking trees. I'm so excited.
So I also found this interesting. So this is not a new rule again, but whilst I was... this is a new rule. Sorry, this is a new rule.
Okay. So
they've reworded the rule about line of play.
Right.
So
it's a rewording.
Yeah. So if you need to come, if you need to take relief, or you need to you've gone out of bounds or anything like that,
right?
And you're then taking a, because you can take a step forward if you're out of bounds, you can take a meter relief forward.
Yeah.
So meter relief forward or yeah. any amount of distance back.
100%.
And if you need to be in line with the basket and not the fairway. So if you're playing the dog leg,
okay,
you need to line yourself up with the basket.
Wow. Okay, that's a bit of a game changer.
That yeah, it is. Cause you, and the rules apparently weren't worded clearly, and they're clearly not, because I thought you'd face down the fairway.
Oh.
But no.
Okay.
To the basket.
We're learning. This is amazing.
This is one that Ben is going to absolutely love.
He will.
Mandos.
Mando. Yes, mate.
Yeah. If you miss a Mando, you miss a Mando. Right? And take a point. Even if you can play back on yourself.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Now.
Are we bringing up the controversy of a certain hole now? Is that what we're going to talk about now? Because I had my best shot on a par because of that.
No, not really. So.
So it counts as one, or do you re-tee? Because
thinking
about
more out of, when you got out of bounds.
Right, okay.
Attached to a Mando.
Okay.
If the out of bounds is like, because it's quite close to the basket or a forest or wherever it is, and you play through the Mando but still end up coming back on yourself and ending up out of bounds. So there's a hole on Gillies with a Mando, isn't there? And you got the forest to the
left.
Yeah,
the dog left. I don't forget the number of
so
it.
So if you play
yeah.
straight into the forest, you're going to take a point because you're going out of bounds.
Yes.
Right? If you go through the Mando but then somehow back up on yourself and end up in the forest and close to the basket,
yeah,
you're still now taking a point.
Wow, that's a big kick in the teeth.
Because it doesn't matter that you've gone through the manic, you're almost...
That is a bit of a kick in the teeth, ain't it? A little bit, if we think about it.
If you've got a throw that almost comes back on itself.
Yeah. There's a few discs in our bags where we've seen that happen. Like, madly as well.
Yeah, but...
Interesting.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really understand why that would be in the rules. But here we go.
Fair.
So, relief areas are now to be treated the same as an out-of-bounds area without the penalty point. Now, we've not come across relief areas, but we may have. Do you remember the... where was we? Sainsbury, maybe? And you end up playing from the road.
Oh, yeah, over the cart, yes.
Video also available on YouTube.
Mate, if that putt went in, that would have been bonkers good.
But you made the argument that you wasn't out of bounds. And technically, you were right.
There was no OB, yeah, that's true.
There was no OB.
Just a vehicle on a road and, you know, live traffic in the way.
Yeah.
But no OB.
So, because there was no OB, we should have made that area a relief area.
Oh,
and
okay.
What a relief area will do is... give you the same rules of out of bounds, but not apply the penalty point. So you still could have took your shot from where it went out into the relief area. The only difference with a relief area and out of bounds is that you're not allowed as far back as you want.
Okay, yeah, that makes
because
sense.
Because there is typically a reason that there's a relief area.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that does make sense.
And it's just... it was just a wording around that, saying that relief areas have to be...
Yeah, I could see why they need to reword that. That could be a cluster truck of issues.
Oh, no, definitely. And, of course, the controversial one.
Okay.
No misshapen discs. No folding your disc in half and throw it. Now, the PDGA video described it as needs to resemble a saucer.
I love that. Needs to resemble a saucer.
So if you're ever wondering what your disc should look like...
It should look like a disc and not like Pac-Man is what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
So basically, they just made that rule official.
I'm trying to remember. There was a couple of guys who used to be able to put like that and got shots in. They're mad. And it's on YouTube somewhere. It probably is on YouTube. Like... And I was like, holy shit, that's amazing.
It seems like the underleg putt. Like, it seems like the kind of thing you do to show off a bit when you're on a good game.
So it's like the... Oh, I forget the pro's name. He did it in a tournament and everyone was like, what the f*** are you doing? And he got it in. It's the... he held it like if he was holding like a tray and he had pizza on it. Yeah, you've seen it. And he throws it in like that. That was mad. And it went in. It was sick. And I was like, mate, fair play to you. That's dope. But then also Calvin Heinberg can do basketball shots. And he does basketball shots for putting when he's in bushes and gets them in. It's absolutely insane.
And, you know, I watched a couple of weeks back. I think it was the Austin Open. There were people doing the underleg put.
Yeah.
Just taking the piss, basically.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
But this is what you want disc golf to be. I don't want disc golf to be, and I know you play golf, Lee, but I don't want disc golf to be the
golf.
Old man sport.
Yeah.
Golf
oh, I'm not going to lie with you there.
I never want to show up to a disc golf course and they go, no, mate, you're not dressed for this.
Yeah, I've had that before where I've rocked up in a hoodie and smart trousers and they go like, you're not coming on the course. I'm like, why? And it's like, because you haven't got a collar. And I'm like, tell me where on your website then, where there's
do
a
I
dress
look
code.
Like a f-ing dog.
Yeah, like I literally said, there's no dress code thing. There is. I was like, cool, show it me. They went through their whole website and didn't find anything. And then they literally was like, well, you can get a collared shirt in the thing. And I literally was like, mate, look at those shirts and then look at me. I'll take one swing and I'll Bruce Banner the out of that polo shirt. It will not work. And they said, if anyone comes and has a word with you, just be respectful then. And all I could see is like, I know it's a pastime and all the other stuff, but grow up, like literally.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm not there to like break any rules or anything. I wanted to go play a round. I'm not going to name the golf club, but I can tell you that I've gone back since and I still haven't been told off for wearing a collared shirt. Like,
and there might be a reason
stupidity.
For this rule change that I'm missing, but it just seems a bit petty.
Yeah, it does.
No one's using it to get an advantage.
No. It does. It seems a bit weird. Like honestly, like if you want a Pac-Man putt, I would love to see that. And if it goes in, I'm gonna like give you a crisp high five. Like that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, like what gets banned next? Can't lie.
I'm trying to think what would be next. Skip shots.
Yeah.
Oh, that would suck though, because like I haven't seen a skip shot go in. It's pretty dope. That's pretty cool. Like. Or does it happen? Oh, it has to be, because we can even make the joke. The grenade shots get stopped because it either kills cameramen or it breaks the par four shot.
Exactly,
that shot's unreal still.
And I don't know if the... I know we're talking about the line of play and the fact that you have to go through the mandos and you can't come back on yourself.
Mm.
I don't know if that's to avoid that, because I think what...
He still missed that putt. That's the craziest thing.
I didn't realise he still took his putt.
So he basically, he had the shot and they made the joke about like he missed the putt and he put it on Twitter and he was like, yeah, even though I got it that close, yeah, I didn't get an eagle, I got a birdie because I missed the putt. And you're just like, see, that's, you know, it's not karma or what everyone says is like, oh yeah, he shouldn't have done that because it was a stupid shot. A shot's a shot. Like, if it doesn't, then you should do it.
Yeah, we had that debate, didn't we? Then,
yeah.
You know,
but the Pac-Man, I'm going to miss the Pac-Man now.
And this is what I think in holes like that there, put a mando at the start of the hole, so you have to throw forwards. And
makes
what they've
sense.
Been saying is that you can't come back on yourself and then bypass all that forest. So you couldn't throw a little one through the mando, grenade the forest, get your birdie.
So could grenade the forest. That was mad.
I'd love to have the ability to grenade a forest.
That was a cannon of a throw, that was, to be honest.
Again, Richie was trying to grenade on Sunday. And he was not grenading a forest.
Mate, I swear, if we can figure out a grenade, like, that's an arsenal weapon. I love it. Like, literally, love a grenade. Grenades and rollers, that's what we need to learn next.
But, yeah, so all in all, the new rules are more word changes. But I learned, and I will give the PDGA credit, I learned quite a lot today. Stuff I already knew, but now I know how it's worded in the rules and exactly what things mean. And not just from the rule updates that they did the video about, but some of these rule updates, I was like, so what does that actually mean? So I went to the PDGA website and I actually had a look, and this is why, you know, I can describe it a bit better.
Yeah, and you can understand it. Yeah.
I will say that, you know, if you are getting into disc golf and you're going to enter a tournament, or you just want to know the rules or something, PDGA's got you covered. There's no messing about. It's a nice
true.
Little rule section that, you know, you can easily navigate and you can figure out what you want to do. UDisc is also great. UDisc.org, another great rule section where you can just flick through, not nice and easy to navigate. I think UDisc even got a search option so you can actually search the rule that you're looking for.
It's also pretty nice if you're at a tournament, like we can say when we were at Gillies, because it was in our, I want to say, the second or third podcast that we did. The people you go around with, don't be afraid to talk to them and ask them questions, because like I asked them about like swearing and also like if I've got foot faults or anything like that, or anything like, you know, what's the actual thing. Funny enough, people play the sport you do, and they were exactly like what we were, so they're not like gonna be too afraid to probably talk to you. If they don't want to talk to you, there's something wrong with them, let's just be honest. But most of the time,
but this is it. I've put a group of four, and the first thing I said was like, "Who knows the rules?" And one guy went, "Meh."
Exactly. I just read it was like, "Guys, if I swear, is that okay?" They're like, "Yeah, just don't swear at us." I was like, "Okay, so I can say if I miss a putt, but I can't call you a That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That makes sense. Like they were like, "Yeah, we're completely fine with it," and they swore more than me because they missed some things and I missed some things, but we all laughed about it. Well, honestly, I think it's just honestly like common courtesy and all that. You just gotta understand it. But yeah.
Also, there's thinking. I love the fact that we use quacks in both our YouTube videos and our
podcast. I love a good quack.
It's almost like guess the swear word.
Mate, I love a good quack. Like, honestly, you could say quack and it's amazing because the quack is the same. Like, the one I did try one time was a dolphin noise, but it just sounds way too, like, aggressive. Yeah. Like, it's just like, literally, it's like, no, it's got to be something mad. And then I one video series, I saw a guy make a duck noise and I immediately went, that's what's happening now. I love the sensor beat, don't get me wrong, but the quack is just so funny.
I used chimp when I was doing for gaming. Fair. The quack is definitely much better.
The quack is so funny. Like, oh, it's just like, even if we go on a swearing rant, we could just easily just put Donald Duck on for like a literal.
I've got a clip of ducklings. There's lots and lots of them.
That's amazing.
I'm waiting for the moment I can use it.
Yeah, we'll just literally lose our absolute life at something. I love it. Yeah, no, I love our quacks.
Yeah. You know what? I also love the podcast, and you know, we got to episode 8, and we said earlier about the views, and we're saying that, you know, 75 views ain't, you know, the best in the world, and 25 views ain't great, and
yeah,
you know, but actually, I don't care if four people listen to the podcast, but we're actually on a regular basis pumping out 50, 60 views. The first one, podcast episode 1, I noticed was over 100 views.
Yeah.
You know, and that's on YouTube alone. I don't do the Podbean, so that's...
Our Podbean numbers are pretty good, but that's probably because, like, it's Podbean, so it's, like, it's pretty good.
So, you know, we're banging out pretty good numbers, and, you know, I do... It's corny, but I want to take the time to actually thank the people who actually bother to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy listening to it.
I do as well, even when I
edit
it.
Which is the weirdest sensation, because I don't even enjoy listening to my own music after my own.
I love that. No. Yeah, it's... Yeah, we're grateful for, like, people taking their time out to, like, listen to us and, like, literally hear. And hopefully helping you guys out there is probably one of the small goals of ours, because we just want to document our journey and tell you how amazing disc golf is. And if we've helped you in any way, that's kind of cool. And that'll be awesome to hear if we have. Drop a comment on the YouTube.
Yeah. Right, that'd be sick. As I said to you the other day, like, because it has been a couple of weeks in life.
Yes.
I've actually been planning the next few episodes, and I'm not going to say what we're going to talk about next time, because next time life could happen, and
yes,
I could be apologizing again for not being able to talk about plastics, but here we are.
Hopefully Ben doesn't assault his throat with sandpaper. That's basically it.
But you know, we've got plans for future episodes.
Yeah,
we've got some plans for some special episodes along the way. I've got an idea for episode 10. I've got an idea for episode 25. Like,
gosh, okay, you're thinking that far ahead.
I'm thinking that far ahead.
Jeez Louise.
I do really appreciate the listeners, and if you bear with us, then I think by episode 100, you will be on something good.
Yeah, maybe. We get our stride going, you know? Living la vida loca, mate.
Get into the rhythm.
Yeah, right. 100%. 100%.
But no, thanks for joining us, and it's been another Discheads podcast.
Yeah, 100%. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a like is much appreciated. Feel like subscribing to our YouTube channel that this is located on. That would be absolutely fantastic. Also, leave a comment, tell us your thoughts on the rule changes, on baskets, on all the stuff and topics that we talked about today. That would be absolutely awesome. And we'll see you in a not too distant future for another episode. Don't know when it will be, hopefully in 2 weeks time. That's what we're gonna say.
Yeah, maybe next week. No,
maybe next week. We'll just see. Spontaneous. We did it weekly, and then people were like, do it fortnightly. We can't even do it fortnightly.
Yeah, no, we'll figure it out.
Life finds a way. Jurassic Park, you know. Yeah.